Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilt's Wake Up Call. We're here every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, bringing you the hot news of the town, the community, and the nation at times. I'm Lori Hoyt, and WILP stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And with me today as my guest is one of our WILP sisters, Miriam Thompson, who is, among many other things, very knowledgeable and involved with a union. She has a union background and has been working with Dick Paddock, our engineer, and myself and several other WILF members for several months with the Moncure workers who were on strike for 8.5 months and finally did get a settlement. And we're going to talk a little update on that. And on our agenda this morning is also to talk again about the public employees. 95-98, and also about the Employee Free Choice Act. So good morning, Miriam.
Good morning.
Where shall we start? We've got a pretty full agenda this morning.
Well, let's first, why don't we talk about Maine this afternoon? Let's talk about the wonderful event going on this afternoon.
Okay. This afternoon, the Ackland Art Museum has been having one of their major exhibits that started in January and is ending the middle of this month on coal, iron, and steel, the Industrial Revolution since the 1750s. And since that has had such a huge impact on all our lives for good and unfortunately for bad, also, they incorporate a social justice and environmental justice component and programs throughout the exhibit. And tonight, the Raging Grannies, most of whom are WILF members, will be part of their social justice program and part of Second Friday Art Walk. So from 5:30 to 6:30, you're in for a treat. Go to the Ackland Art Museum, and the colorful, provocative Raging Grannies will be singing union songs, telling a little bit about the history of the unions and about the impact on the environment of the Industrial Revolution. We have some, but Miriam and I are both also Raging Grannies. That's another hat, a very colorful hat that we wear. And they have a cash bar. They have usually nice hors d'oeuvres. And it will be a very exciting way to start your weekend. So please come to the Ackland Art Museum by 5:30 this afternoon. I think the door is open at 5. So there's that. Are you looking forward to it, Miriam?
I'm looking forward to singing. You have to really see us, but it's a wonderful evening event that opens up tomorrow's event, May 9th, which WILF is hosting, our very wonderful active chapter. We urge you all to join, and Lori will give you information throughout the broadcast. But tomorrow at 3:30, we're inviting all of you to a very important WILF-hosted teach-in. From 3:30 to 5:30 at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Lots of parking.
Lots of parking on Estes Drive. We have an exciting array of speakers, and it'll be interactive because it's an action event. It's not only speakers, but it's really some important actions that we'll describe during this broadcast. So I'll just describe the first, and Lori can talk about the second. We're proud to have New York State University Professor David Zondervan, noted labor historian and civil rights activist. He will be leading off. You should know that David Zondervan wrote one of the most important articles on the Jim Crow law, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, the General Statute 9598, which prevents public service workers from collective bargaining and obviously later the opportunity to form a union.
And we ought to tell what the title of it is. It's Corporate Rule, Bailouts, and Greed. why we need unions. So that's what we're going to be teaching about. And I think with the corporate shenanigans that we are all too painfully aware of, this is going to be a topic that we can learn more about how to protect ourselves from this power of these greedy, immoral corporations. And Miriam just mentioned NC State Professor David Zondervan, and we are very pleased to have another speaker who is the son of one of our WILF members, Chris Chafe. He is the executive director of the Change to Win Federation, and that is a group of unions that broke off from the AFL-CIO with a few disagreements, as there is with any big family. And he has been working in Washington, as I understand it, every week with Biden's staff, has met with Biden and even the president several times, and is working with them for workers' families and focusing right now on the big issue that we're going to talk some more about, the Employee Free Choice Act and what that means. So Chris Chafe will be our second speaker, but third and not least at all, we are going to have a few of the Moncure plywood workers who have become our family also, and with whom we have worked since August on trying to get human rights and justice for them. And some of them will be back from their 8-month strike and settlement and to talk about the current situation. And I think, is this also going to be a few public employees, Miriam?
We are also going to be talking about, we'll have a representative from the campus to talk about the important effort to get rid of, to repeal Public Law 9598, and we'll tell you what you can do about that. We'll have lots of discussion about that tomorrow. Let me just make it clear that the effort is part of the HOPE Coalition. Here are public employees, and we will have a speaker from HOPE. They're seeking to repeal the law, as I mentioned, that prohibits collective bargaining between North Carolina's public employers and employees. So employees have little chance to really take grievances under a contract. And so it's a terribly important law that we need repealed so that our public service workers have an opportunity to have justice in their workplace, most specifically in our UNC campus, where they're now doing a ravaging budget discussion because, as we well know, the state is in a big hole. But there's a whole army of people, one of whom you heard last week, Steve Hutton, who with faculty and staff and students are trying to protect in the budget negotiations at UNC, which are anything but transparent, but they are trying to protect the lowest paid workers, those, of course, who have no contract and no union and no power. So it's a very important struggle, both on the state and local level.
Yeah, I don't think many of us, I know I didn't, realize just how important this is, and to realize that North Carolina, I think we all know that North Carolina is not a pro-worker state, or as they would put it, it's a right-to-work state.
For less wages.
But it's one of only two states that prohibits public employees from collective bargaining. Now, collective bargaining does not mean a union, but what it means, if there is a grievance or a problem, instead of trying to do it individually, that as a group you can collectively bargain with the bosses, with the employer. And that is so critical, because otherwise it's very scary for one person to kind of face the powers that be by themselves. And we're one of only two states, which is shameful. And it's about time. And I think this came about, this law, during the 50s when there was the Joe McCarthy scare or some ridiculous thing. It's out of date.
1959 is when it was passed.
Yes, out of date and out of sync with the needs of today's workers.
Let's go back up the line, Lori, and talk about the Moncure workers. Mel Monford will be with us, who's the staff rep. And I think we ought to tell everybody who worked so hard on this that the struggle continues. news. They got a settlement,
yes,
but anything but a victory. What the bosses, what the company Moncure, owned by Atlas Holdings in Greenwich, Connecticut, are doing now
the
is trying to
Greenwich,
do...
Greenwich, Connecticut.
The rich are trying to do an end run around the agreement. For instance, replacement workers, one of the key issues they negotiated, have not been replaced, underscore, not been replaced by returning union members. They have been transferred to other shifts in the plant. Harassment and intimidation of the workers continues. We think there's been an increase in supervisors, none of whom have experience in plywood production, but they're harassing and intimidating workers. Grievances mount. The contract's severance agreement has been violated. Many of us who've been on the Moncure line know one of the African-American women, one of the leaders. She was called back. By the way, they were called back based on seniority, which was a victory. They regained their seniority, and they regained, of course, protected the union. But she,
Angie,
was brought back. She was told, and it was agreed, to be a utility worker, was taken back, was given heavy lifting, even though she told them she had a back injury from working at the plant. They told her to go home, and then they illegally signed a severance note. Illegal, because there is a protocol for severance.
Oh.
And It was unsigned. She never signed it. Told her to go home, basically pushing her out. They had pushed out a previous worker who had a heart condition. So the fight continues, and we're very proud and persistent in staying with the union to do this. Remember, this Moncure plant is going to fold if it isn't for the workers, like almost every other thing in our society. If it isn't for the workers, public services couldn't be delivered. If it isn't for the workers, Moncure plant and others wouldn't stay alive. Part of the agreement with Moncure was that they would have a production and safety team, so
yes,
workers could really participate in the decisions that affect their lives, because they have the expertise, and that provision has not been executed. So we have written, would you believe, with all this, Moncure is a member and prides itself, publicizes that it is a member of the Sustainable Furnishings Council. Well, we are fighting to make sure that the Sustainable Furnishings Council does not renew their membership until they honor the agreement and respect the workers who they employ.
Because you might mention
that. And probably get rid of the managers is what we're fighting for.
Well, to mention that part of being in sustainable, what is it, the Sustainable
Furnishings Council
is like being green. And part of all of that is treating workers equitably. So this is an important part, and they have been masquerading under false pretenses and touting in their advertisements that they are, you know, one of the green, sustainable companies, when this is how they're treating their workers. They want to go back to Jim Crow and get rid of the union and grind the workers into the ground and make a profit and sell the place.
You know, I just want to tell you, so I don't forget, there is something you can do. We have the Moncure Solidarity Committee, and then let's go back up to Chris and what David will be talking about in the employee free choice. You can email Susan Ingles, INGLIS, at the Sustainable Furnishings Council. You can mention that you heard this broadcast.
Get your pens and pencils
ready.
We'll have other things to write down too, so be prepared.
Yeah, you should never listen to a Wilf morning show without a pen and pencil. But it's susan@sustainablefurnishings.org. We have written her a letter urging that she, the board of SFC, deny Moncure the renewal of its membership, because it does not honor the principles, including social equity for its workers, the principles of the council. You can write again, susan@sustainablefurnishings.org. Tell her that you heard the program on Wilf, that you are really distraught. If you have been on the picket line, tell her you've been on the picket line, and see what's happening to workers as they return to work, and urge them not to renew Moncure until justice prevails at the Moncure plant.
Yes, did you send a copy of that to good old Jeff Matusiak?
We sent copies, actually, to Reverend Barbara of the NAACP, James Andrews, the head of the AFL-CIO, Representative Etheridge, who represents the district, Bob Etheridge. So we urge you all to contact Bob Etheridge as well.
Yes, he's been supportive.
Right,
of
letting
the
you know how disturbed you are to see that the work he did is being violated by the company toward its returning workers.
Yeah.
We sent it to a whole bunch of people and hope you will join us.
Yeah, well, that's important for people people to realize not only has WILP been supportive, but many other faith organizations, churches, and seven congressmen have been so outraged at how these workers were treated that they have sent a strong letter of support when they were on strike to Atlas Holding, telling them to get back to the negotiating table. So I think people need to realize this is big. It may be in a little town Moncure, but it is big. Okay.
By the way, let me go back to 95, 98 for a minute. It is very important you tell your friends to call Joe Hackney, the leader of the House in the, of Representatives in the General Assembly. Joe Hackney, he's in the phone book. I'm sorry, I don't have his number handy.
Yeah.
But his office is right here in Chapel Hill. And he is not taking aggressive leadership to assure the passage of this legislation. He should be your first call this morning after you email Susan Ingalls and call Bob Etheridge. But it's terribly important. We need leadership from the head of the House of Representatives. We need that very long sought bill to repeal 95-98. That's all you have to say. I want the bill 95-98 repealed this session. By the way, Chapel Hill and Carrboro town councils have sent letters of support.
And also just want to mention when we were in the struggle, out in the mud on the picket line for 8.5 months with the workers, Chatham County, as when they found out about it, got really on the ball. And particularly, I want to give credit to the Chatham County Democratic Women and Barbara Lotus and Beth Cricker, who organized and mobilized the commissioners and the whole Democratic Party to give that kind of support to the workers. And that meant so much to them. So I just wanted to get that in, Mary.
We, by the way, have a Moncure IAM. This is the International Association of Machinists, Local W for Woodworkers, mm-hmm. Local W369. We have a Solidarity Committee,
yes.
Both Orange and Chatham and growing.
Yes.
So if you want to join WILF and the Solidarity Committee, you can call, got those pens ready, my number 370-4114 or Lori at 968-1888.
Yes, please call. We're a good group, and this was a kind of a new thing for Orange County and Chatham County to get together. And it's not just the Democratic Party or the politically WILF. It's also churches have been involved. The Community Church in Chapel Hill, Church of the Reconciliation, the Friends. We've had just wonderful support. People really do care if they get the information.
By the way, also NAACP
both
Orange.
NAACP has been
National
very strong.
Reverend Barber's been very strong.
Yes.
And
yes.
I do want to recognize, by the way, the new president of
Brian Ellison?
Brian Wright, who is the new president of the Interdenominational IMA, International Ministerial Alliance, which is a group
yes.
of black churches,
yes.
same in Chatham County, that
yes.
have joined, that have given support to and a hearing space to hear the workers' struggles.
That part has been really heartening
yep.
to get these wonderful people organized. Okay, I'm going to take a little break right now and let you know with all this information flooding the airwaves here that we are WILP's wake-up call on every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. We are underwritten by a long-time Chapel Hill institution, the Internationalist Books. And you can get more information at internationalistbooks.org. They not only have books or will order you a book if they don't have what you want there, but they also are a community resource. They hold poetry readings, all kinds of things. And you can go in and find out what's happening in terms of progressive issues in town. It's a fun place to go and visit, and we recommend it. And you can find out more about WILF, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, by going to trianglewilp.org. And WILP is WILPF, trianglewilp.org. We have a website. We have all kinds of, we have our finger in many pies. And we'd love to have you learn more about us and think about joining us. We do a lot. Okay, Miriam, back to
Let's say that Wilf, by the way, is involved in both local, as you can see in Moncure, social justice and international peace and justice work. So it's a profoundly important organization to join and help
it's
support.
How old are we now? About quite 100. 91 years old. Started in 1915 by Jane Addams. I just want to get that in. We have a wonderful historical roots, and we have counted among our members Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta King, and we have some other Nobel Prize winners, Alice Walker.
And we have a close working relationship with our local Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP branch and the state. So we're
very present there. And we also have NGO status at the UN. We are an international organization. Well, enough about WILP. Let's get back to our important
topics. I wanted you to talk a little, tell the folks a little bit. I told them about David Zondervan, who's a well-respected professor of labor history, who wrote the important book about the Jim Crow law of 95-98. But let's say a little bit more about Chris Jaffe. Chris Chafe,
mm-hmm.
who'll also be with us tomorrow, is the executive director of Change to Win. Many people in our audience, as Lori mentioned earlier, know the split in the labor movement. Now we have the AFL and Change to Win. But what Chris will also be talking about tomorrow, and I think is a really stunning new event, is that both both umbrella organizations are getting back together to talk about how they can reinvigorate the labor movement in time for the most important struggle we've described to you, street struggle of Moncure. We've described to you the state, the state struggle. But now we need to talk about the Federal Employee Free Choice Act. Please write that down, the Employees Free Choice Act, which would really address many of the issues that we've been talking about thus far. This you need David's sponsor, or rather David Price is a co-sponsor of the legislation.
And I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean a co-sponsor, not just supports it.
Yeah.
Senator Kay Hagan is also supporting it, but has yet to agree to co-sponsor the bill, but that's a phone call immediately.
Yes.
One to thank David Price, of course.
Yes.
Tell your friends around the country to call their Congress members and senators. We're also writing to Kay Hagan to urge her. By the way, Wilf has cards that you can sign. You can also go on the AFL-CIO NC North Carolina website, AFLCIONC.org. You can access a petition and letters that you can write on their website.
And if you come tomorrow to our teach-in, we'll have these cards, we'll have petitions, and we'll have information sheets.
Right.
Come and get informed.
Yep. We're writing to Senator Burr, who is the Senate bill, by the way, is 560. He is adamantly opposed to the bill. He has joined with all the corporations who put over $200 million and growing into opposing this act that would give workers the right to form unions. And by the way, the other thing they're really afraid of, it would give workers the right to join unions by their choice of either
card check
or secret ballot,
but it's
the workers' choice.
Right.
The most violations of either avenue have been the employers. There's never really been any evidence of union intimidation. Most of the intimidation of workers' rights to organize rests with the employers.
And let me just say, Smithfield and others, we know a lot about how brutal that intimidation can be.
The important thing when you hear the employers' ads, and you'll probably see them on television, it is not about card check or the secret ballot. What it's about is employers, for the first time, would be penalized if they intimidated workers who are trying to organize. You know, the ones who are deported, the ones who are arrested, the ones who are fired, it would penalize employers. The second thing it would do, you know that once unions have won a contract, employers now like Smithfield, that was over a decade, they held 16 years from signing a contract. We now have a Smithfield election and a contract. But this law would prohibit and penalize employers by demanding a 90-day schedule or framework for negotiating an agreement, a 90-day deadline.
And to let you know, just how significant and important this Employee Free Choice Act. You have to, Miriam mentioned over 200 million. I heard this morning when you put together what the Chamber of Commerce is putting into this, Walmart and some other corporations not known for their good treatment of workers, it's over 400 million campaign to have all these ads putting out these myths and misinformation about what the Employee Free Choice Act
is. And just remember, they also contribute to legislators' campaigns.
Yes.
So we need to overrun them with real popular support.
Yes, we
do. I just want to add that we are also, Senator Kay Hagan has indicated her support, so we are writing to her to thank her for support, but asking her to endorse the last thing in the bill, by the way, not only penalizing them from intimidating, putting a deadline, a 90-day deadline on contract conclusion, but if after 90 days they don't reach a contract, it calls for arbitration. So it's a powerful bill for workers'
finally
rights.
Finally, it has some teeth in it. We learned in Moncure that you can have grievances and go to the National Labor Relations Board, at least how it was set up under Bush. And with Moncure, four grievances, they found three of them against the company. And what did they do? No penalty at all. Slap them on the wrist. Oh, don't do that again, please. So it just made you realize how much bullshit was going on with any, you know, the rule of law, the rule of fairness. And this is going to make such a difference, and we've got to rally. This is not going to affect what we think of as other workers. This is going to affect anybody we know who's a worker, any kind of a worker. It's going to affect our children, our grandchildren, as they move into the workforce. This could be, just like in the 30s, this could be a real step forward to help in America reclose that gap between the rich and the poor, which has widened to a very frightening degree in the last 20 years since
Reagan. I just want to quickly give the title for tomorrow, Corporate Rule, Bailouts and Greed. These are the same corporations getting our tax dollars.
Yes.
Why we need unions.
Yes.
And how they serve the economy, which is going down the toilet.
Yes. So, you know, we love our new president, and I think he is trying to move this huge ship of state in a new direction, but he needs all of us to provide the pressure and the energy to get that ship of state moved around from the going over the cliff where it has been heading.
He, by the way, will employ the Employee Free Choice Act.
He will what?
He has said throughout his campaign and president, he would sign the bill.
He will sign the bill. So, okay, so we're getting ready to wrap up. Is there any last-minute thing? We talked about labor, I think we just mentioned briefly. In this month's Nation Magazine, this week's Nation Magazine, there's a really good article, One Hack for Labor. Rethinking their split 4 years ago, unions are exploring reunification into a single federation so that they can most effectively bring about labor law reform.
Lori, let's give our website again and our telephone numbers.
Okay.
Website trianglewilf.org, where you can get all this information.
Yes.
Telephone numbers 370-4114, that's 919, and 968-1888. The AFL website, aflnc.org, and the Hope Coalition, hopenc.org. nchope.org.
And tomorrow, May 9th, 3:30, be there at the Chapel Hill Public Library and learn a lot so that you know how to better protect yourself and your future generations to get this country moving back into a more progressive place than the a scary place that we've been moving for the last 20 years. Those of you who care about justice, teaching, and tonight the grannies will be singing at the Akron Art Museum, tomorrow the teaching. Oh, and I promised Peggy I'd mention on Sunday, Mother's Day, at 3:30 be there at 3 at the law school graduation at the Smith Center, a protest, Mothers Against Torture. Please think about that. Mothers, what a great way to spend your Mother's Day. Goodbye.